Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Just by way of introduction, those of you I have not had the privilege of meeting yet, my name is Teresa. I have been studying off and on under Mama Jean for about the last 17 years or so, whenever my schedule permitted. But now that I am retired, she has graciously agreed to take me under her wing and be my mentor. She's marvelous. Thank you.
Yes.
So when your mentor asks you, would you be willing to facilitate the teaching of the story of Jacob and Esau in our Genesis study, you say, yes, Sensei. So I went home, obviously, and read those 10, 11 chapters that have to do with Jacob and Esau's story. And I have a confession. My first thought was, what a bunch of knuckleheads. you've got to be kidding me. What can we emulate from this? Which is Western thinking, that's our first thought. What do I need to do? How can I be like the faith of Abraham and the things that we've studied with Noah and Enoch already? And so you're reading through this, and so I made a list. I said, God, look, just in the chapters we're doing today, they're lying, they're quarreling, they're wrestling, they're playing favorites, they're despising, they're grasping, they're being disobedient and impatient and conniving and cheating and hating and whining,
yes,
like I am right now. And of course, the first thing that drops into my heart is, Teresa, judge not, lest you be judged. And it's like, okay, Lord, yes, I've lied. Yes, I've quarreled. Yes, I've wrestled. Yes, I've played favorites. I've despised, grasped, disobedient, impatient, conniving, cheating, whining, and hated. So the beautiful thing about that is I love the correction from the Lord. And this has turned all these chapters completely upside down for me. Because now, instead of looking at that, is what can I emulate? And there are a couple little bright spots, so fear not. But instead of thinking, what can I emulate from this? My thought turned upside down to, wow, the grace of God. How can I see and magnify the Lord in this? Because I'm a knucklehead. So, here we go. Oh, and like last week, Mama Jean mentioned that these chapters can be out of order as far as a timeline. So we are going to jump in at chapter 26, and then we'll pop back, because it's just kind of this, I don't know, it just seems like it's in the wrong place. So it starts with Isaac in chapter 26, and then it jumps back to chapter 25 and to chapter 27 for the rest of the story of Jacob, or the beginning of the story. All right, so Genesis chapter 26, please. Now there was a famine in the land, besides the previous famine that occurred in the days of Abraham. So if you're looking at your study sheet, this is the backside, right? This is almost like a review of what we've already been learning. So that's very nice of the writer, of Moses, to write this for us. And it's just really, the apple does not fall far from the tree. It's everything we see in this chapter, Abraham did, his dad did, or experienced. Okay, so there's a famine in the land. So Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. The Lord appeared to him and said, don't go down to Egypt. Stay in the land which I will tell you. Now, that's a little bit different from Abraham, but pretty similar. There was a famine in the land, and Isaac's like, well, what did Daddy do when there's a famine in the land? He went down to Egypt. So on his way, he's passing through Gerar, but God stops him and says, no, don't go to Egypt. And it makes me kind of wonder, back there when Abraham did go, God told him to go to the promised land. He didn't tell him, as far as I can see, to go to Egypt. Now, what if he hadn't gone to Egypt? There would be no Hagar, and the story might have ended up differently. God's will, God's plan won't be stopped by our knuckleheadedness. Okay, so he says, don't go down to Egypt. Stay in the land which I will tell you. Verse 3, live temporarily as a resident in this land, and I will be with you and will bless and favor you, for I will give you all these lands to you and your descendants, and I will establish and carry out the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. So here we are again, the same promise, the same covenant that God made with Abraham. You remember back in I think it was chapter 15 where they cut a covenant, right? And back in the day, when you cut a covenant with someone, you would cut the animals in half and lay one half on one side of the ditch, the other half on the other side, so the blood runs down in the ditch. And then you make your covenant, you make your oath, your agreement, and both parties walk through the blood saying, what was done to these animals will be done to me if I break this covenant. But we remember that when God cut covenant with Abraham, Abraham was not made to walk through. Because if he did, he'd be like those animals and cut in half and have to and be the one who sheds his blood. But, I mean, looking way into the future, God walked through. And he said, if this covenant is broken, it's my blood. And as we know, as we're celebrating this weekend, it was his blood. Thank the Lord. His grace, his covenant-keeping promise, his mercy for all knuckleheads. All right. And verse 4, I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of the heaven and will give to your descendants all these lands. So he's just reiterating the blessings of God. It's not dependent on him, but God's got this. And by your descendants shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Because Abraham listened and obeyed my voice, and consistently kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. So there's a little bit, you know, there's a gold star for him. He obeyed the Lord. He didn't go down to Egypt. He trusted God to take care of him in the famine. Gold star. All right. Verse 7, the men of the place asked him about his wife, and he said, she is my sister. Lie. It wasn't even his half-sister like it was for Abraham. Yep. It's a cousin. It's like, that's not your sister. It's a lie. Gold star. No more.
Take it away.
That didn't take long. Okay. She is my sister. For he was afraid to say, my wife, thinking the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebekah, since she's very beautiful. I mean, God just told him and reiterated the promise and the covenant. You and your descendants. Da, da, da. So how is this guy going to kill anybody? He can't. God's got stuff to do yet. Bless him. I'm like that too. Verse 8. It happened, as it does, he had been there a long time, and Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of a window and saw Isaac caressing Rebekah, his wife. Very similar to Dad. Abimelech, wife, PDA. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, see here, Rebekah is in fact your wife. How did you dare say to me, she is my sister? And Isaac said to him, because I thought I might be killed because of her desirability. Abimelech said, what is this that you have done to us? One of the men among our people might easily have been intimate with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us before God. So where he's supposed to be the representative of God, this heathen nation king is like, has more character than he does at this point. All right, verse 11. Then Abimelech commanded all his people, whoever touches this man, Isaac, or his wife, Rebekah, shall without exception be put to death. Okay, so again, like father, like son. All right, verse 12. We're going to look at God's favor. Then Isaac planted seed in the land as a farmer and reaped in the same year 100 times as much as he planted. That's the favor of God. That's God keeping his covenant. And the Lord blessed and favored him. And the man Isaac became great and gained more and more until he became very wealthy and extremely distinguished. He owned flocks and herds and great household with a number of servants, and the Philistines envied him. That's a recipe for trouble. But do you see how God's favor was on him the same way God's favor was on his father Abraham? God is keeping his promise. Then we jump into the quarrel of the wells, okay, starting in verse 15. Now all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with dirt. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from here. You are far too powerful for us. So Isaac left that region and camped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Now Isaac again dug and reopened the wells of water which his father had dug in the days of Abraham. Because the Philistines had filled them up with dirt after the death of Abraham, and he gave the wells the same names that his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well flowing, spring water that Mama Jean was talking about last week, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water's ours." So Isaac named the well Esek, which means quarreling, because they quarreled with him. Then his servants dug another well, and they quarreled over that also. So Isaac named it Sitnah, which means enmity. And then he moved away from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over that. So he named it Rehoboth, which means broad places, saying, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be prosperous in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba, which is the first well that Abraham built and dug, and I think he built an altar there as well. The Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham your father. Do not be afraid like you were with the king Abimelech, for I am with you." Isn't God so good to keep reminding us?
Yes.
Over and over. I just love having the treasure of the word that we can go to and run to and remember. He's so good. "I am with you. I will bless and favor you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." So Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord in prayer. He pitched his tent there. Isaac's servants dug a well. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuzah, his close friend and confidential advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his army. So now we're going to go into the oath part, where he's going to make an oath with Abimelech, and that's what Abraham did. Now, it's not necessarily the same Abimelech, because Abimelech just means, it's like a title, like Pharaoh or Caesar. So it literally means, my father, Abby, my father is king. So it would just keep going down. So this Abimelech came as well. In verse 27, Isaac said to them, "Why have you people come to me since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" They said, "We see clearly that the Lord has been with you." Do you see it? So he said, "There should now be an oath between us with a curse for the one who breaks it. That is, between you and us, and let us make a covenant, a binding agreement, a solemn promise with you, that you will not harm us, just as we have not touched you, and have done nothing but good to you, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed and favored of the Lord." Then Isaac held a formal banquet, a covenant feast for them, and they ate and drank. Back in the day, that's how they ratified a covenant. You ate together and showed we all agree. We're fellowshipping together at the table. They got up early in the morning and swore oaths, pledging to do nothing but good to each other. And Isaac sent them on their way, and they left him in peace. Now on the same day, Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug, saying, "We found water." So he named the well Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. So again, it's the same oath that Abraham made with that Abimelech, now Isaac has. So it's just amazing correlation. So does anybody notice anything else that you wrote on your chart for that comparison between Abraham and Isaac on the back of your study page? Something that might have stood out to you?
What I notice is throughout this particular reading that you just read is that in spite of the fact that these people Isaac was, they had a fear of God. And they were not followers like Isaac was supposed to be, like his father was. But yet they kept mentioning the Lord, "You are blessed, the Lord is with you." We can tell. Their eyes were open to that, to receive that and actually proclaim it. I love that.
I love that too. I think that's great. All right. So now we're going to go backward. Chapter 25. Let's start in verse 19. So we're going on to Isaac's kiddos now. Genesis 25:19. "Now these are the records of the descendants of Isaac. Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean, or Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban the Aramean. Verse 21, it's a bright light. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was unable to conceive children, and the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now, this is the thing he did not do like his father Abraham. He didn't take a concubine or figure out another way to bring the promise about, right? Gold star, way to go, Isaac. He trusted the Lord. But, verse 22, the children struggled together within her, kicking and shoving one another. And she said, if it is so that the Lord has heard our prayer, why then am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord, praying for an answer. I love it. Gold star. She went to the Lord. This is kind of like the first divine ultrasound, I guess. The Lord said to her, the founders of two nations are in your womb, and the separation of two nations has begun in your body. So they're struggling, and she can feel it. She knows this isn't normal, this isn't right, and she's going to have major stretch marks, I think. The one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. That was God's choice. When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out reddish all over, like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau, which means hairy. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand grasped Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob, one who grabs by the heel, a supplanter, a deceiver. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. Now, we've learned a lot that words are powerful. God created the whole world with words. They're powerful. We know that they build up and they tear down. And if you call your kid a brat all the time, you know, pretty sure they're going to act like that. So, deceiver? It's like, hey, deceiver, come in. Let's wash your hands. Oh, I did. You're probably lying. You know, it just, I don't know. And then, you know, oh, Harry, did you wash your hands? I can't even tell. I don't know. Anyway, okay, so that's the end of round one. Okay, we kind of titled this as it's three rounds of them struggling, fighting. Anybody on your study sheet, get something from that.
I just think it was so awesome that Isaac.
I was impressed that Rebekah went to the Lord, because we usually see it's the men that go to the Lord, the men asking, the men. But I was impressed that she saw to it that she went to the Lord and she asked what's going on.
Good point. Love it.
We know Rebekah was a follower of the Lord before she married Isaac.
I don't know. I know that her family was kind of pagan. But apparently, something got a hold of her. All right, round two of the boxing match. That starts in verse 27. And this is where, in my mind, it's kind of playing like an ancient Jerry Springer show. That's all I could see when we got to this part. Okay, so verse 27. When the boys grew up, Esau was an able and skilled hunter, a man of the outdoors, but Jacob was a quiet and peaceful man living in tents. Now Isaac loved and favored Esau because he enjoyed eating his game, but Rebekah loved and favored Jacob. Okay, no more stars for them. You don't play favorites. We can't do that. Trouble in the making. Jacob had cooked reddish brown lentil stew one day. When Esau came from the field and was famished, and Esau said to Jacob, please let me have a quick swallow of that red stuff there, because I'm exhausted and famished. For that reason, Esau is also called Edom, which means red. So he's red beans. And actually, the nation that he ends up fathering is called Edom. And so we'll see that a lot in Scripture. Okay, so he's in this place of instant gratification, and Jacob's in this place of grasping. And so this is what happens. Verse 31, Jacob answered, first, sell me your birthright. Now your birthright's like, you're the oldest, you get the double portion. You become the head of the house. You're the one that gets to carry the covenant forward. That's a big deal. It's a really big deal. And he's like, I want that. Well, back when God was talking to Rebecca, he's already said that that's going to happen. So it's like, so Jacob's trying to buy something he doesn't have to buy from someone who doesn't have the right to sell it. I don't know. It just is kind of backwards to me. But Esau, we're going to find out in a few verses, he despised his birthright. That's huge. Okay, so Esau said in verse 32, look, I'm about to die if I don't eat soon. So of what use is that birthright to me? You know when you get hangry? When you get hangry, you don't think straight. And I think that's exactly where he's at. He's like this instant gratification and despising it. Oh, all right. Verse 33, Jacob said, swear an oath to me today that you are selling it to me for this food, for this bowl of beans. So he swore an oath to him and sold him his birthright. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. He just threw in the bread because he knew he was getting a good deal. It's like, here's some bread too. And he ate and drank and got up and went his way. In this way, Esau scorned his birthright. And let's just jump real quick over to Hebrews. So we're going from the front of the Bible to almost the back and see what the writer of Hebrews had to say about this in chapter 12. Hebrews 12, we'll start with verse 15. Okay, Hebrews 12, starting in verse 15. See to it that no one falls short of God's grace, that no root of resentment springs up and causes trouble, and by it be made defiled. And see to it that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. Verse 17, for you know that later on, and we're going to read this in a bit, when he wanted to regain the title in his inheritance of blessing, he was rejected, for he found no opportunity for repentance. There was no way to repair what he had done, no chance to recall the choice he had made, even though he sought it with bitter tears. Trading God's gift for, you know, a fleeting appetite. It's still prevalent today. So, Teresa, judge not, lest you be judged. Yes, sir. Okay, so that's the end of round two. Anybody have any notes that they took for that second round? Something that stood out to you?
Well, the thing that stood out to me through this story was the sin patterns that kept being repeated. And I think today we can think about that as well, because in our families we can have sin patterns that are always repeated one after another. And I thought about, as I thought about that, I thought that's why we need to pray that God would break the curse that are sometimes within a family line so that you can start anew. And I think that was pattern just seemed to continue from Abraham to Isaac, from Esau and on for a while. So I think we need to pray to break those curses.
All right, so let's jump to 27, chapter 27 in Genesis. Actually, you know what? Let's start in verse 34 of 26. If I was going to title this, I would use that saying, oh, what a tangled web we weave, when at first we practice to deceive. This, we're going to start in Genesis 26, 34, please. And we'll go right on to 27. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, as his wives. And they were a source of grief to Esau's parents, Isaac and Rebekah. Then we got about like a big jump of like 37 years now. So this happened when he was 40. He married these ladies. Now 37 years later, the twins are 77. Isaac is 137. Now when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, he called his elder and favorite son Esau and said to him, "My son." And Esau answered him, "Here I am." Isaac said, "See here, I am old. I do not know when I may die." It was actually going to be quite a long time after that, but he didn't know. So verse 3, "So now please take your hunting gear and your quiver of arrows and your bow and go out into the open country and hunt game for me and make me a savory and delicious dish of meat, the kind I love, and bring it to me to eat so that my soul may bless you as my firstborn son before I die." Well, wait a minute. God told him that he wasn't told his wife, and I'm sure she told him because we all tell our husbands everything. So what's he thinking here? I'm at a loss. But that's where he's at. Verse 5, Rebekah overheard what Isaac said to Esau, and when Esau had gone to the open country to hunt for game that he might bring it back, Rebekah said to Jacob, "Hey, deceiver, let's get into cahoots together here. Instead of waiting on the Lord, will we learn?" Maybe he did. Okay. So they're conniving to help God out here. Verse 7, "Bring me some game and make me..." Oh, this is what she overheard. "Bring me some game and make me a savory and delicious dish of meat so that I may eat it and declare my blessing on you in the presence of the Lord before my death. So now, my son, listen carefully to me and do exactly as I command you. Go now to the flock. Bring me 2 good and suitable young goats, and I will make them into a savory dish of meat for your father, the kind he loves to eat. Then you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before his death." He's still grasping at things. Verse 11, "Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, 'Listen, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am smooth-skinned. Suppose my father touches me and feels my skin, then I will be seen by him as a cheat, an impostor, and I will bring a curse on me and not a blessing.' But his mother said to him, 'May your curse be on me, my son.'" Boy, they are going deep. "Whew. Only listen and obey me." Uh-oh. "And go bring the young goats to me." So, verse 14, "Jacob went and got 2 young goats and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared a delicious dish of food with a delightful aroma, the kind his father loved to eat. Then Rebekah took her elder son Esau's best clothes, which were with her in her house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins on the young goats." No, she didn't, because they already had their own. "She put the skins of the young goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave her son Jacob the delicious meat and the bread which she had prepared. So he went to his father and said, 'My father.' Isaac said, 'Here I am. Who are you, my son?' Jacob said to his father, 'I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done what you told me.'" Liar. "Now please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may bless me." Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found the game so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord, your God, caused it to come to me." Big, big lie. And I think it's important to note, too, and we're going to see this through Jacob's journey, as you kind of watch as we go along, how he talks about the Lord. Because here he's very specific. He didn't say, "The Lord, my God." He said, "The Lord, your God." All right, so he doesn't have that personal relationship with the Lord yet. Verse 21, "But Isaac wondered and said to Jacob, 'Please come close to me so that I may touch you, my son, and determine if you are really my son Esau or not.' So Jacob approached Isaac, his father, and touched him and said, 'Voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau.' He could not recognize him as Jacob because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him." Those must have been some pretty hairy hands. I'm just saying. I don't know. Okay. Verse 24, "But he said, 'Are you really my son Esau?' Jacob answered and lied again, "I am." Then Isaac said, "Bring the food to me and I will eat some of my son's game so that I may bless you." He brought it to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Please come, my son, and kiss me." So he came and kissed him, and Isaac smelled his clothing and blessed him and said, and remember, blessings, again, it's the power of words, but back in the day, a spiritual blessing was like, this is a stamp, this is going to happen. God is behind this, you're getting the blessing. So he says, "The scent of my son Esau is like the aroma of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you the dew of heaven to water your land, and of the fatness of the earth, and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord and master over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and may those who bless you be blessed." It's kind of that, so let it be written, so let it be done kind of thing. Uh-oh, verse 30. Now, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely left the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. Esau also made a delicious dish of meat and brought it to his father and said to him, "Let my father get up and eat some of his son's game so that you may bless me." Esau sure seems to have trouble around food. Maybe he should fast. Verse 32, Isaac, his father, said to him, "Who are you?" And he replied, "I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled violently and said, "Then who was the one who was just here who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came and I blessed him." "Yes, and he in fact shall be blessed." And I wonder if that's that moment for Isaac where he's like, you know, if God said it, I just need to agree and move forward with that. Where he just had that aha moment. God knows best. Verse 34, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with a great and extremely bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." Isaac said, "Your brother came deceitfully." Well, you named him. That's like he named that. Okay. "Your brother came to me deceitfully and has fraudulently taken away your blessing for himself." Esau replied, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright." Did he take it away? Mm-hmm. When we're angry, we don't always think right. But yes, you traded it for a bowl of beans. All right, he took away my birthright, and now he has taken away my blessing. Have you not reserved a blessing for me? But Isaac replied to Esau, "Listen carefully. I have made Jacob your lord and master. I have given him all his brothers and relatives as servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine. What then can I do for you, my son?" Let's pause there for a second. Do we have time? Yeah, let's pause there for a second. Let's run back to Hebrews again, chapter 11, and let's go to verse 20, I think. So this is the faith chapter in Hebrews 11, and this is what it says about Isaac. Verse 20, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, believing what God revealed to him, even regarding things to come." So he did get to that place where he aligned himself with what God wanted to do. Now let's go backward, kind of toward the middle of your Bible, to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, let's look at verse 21. This is a really good thing to remember as we're considering this story. 19:21 says, "Many plans are in a man's mind." So though Isaac planned to bless Esau, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand. And so thankfully, by his grace and his sovereignty, he can override some of our knuckleheadedness. Okay, so let's jump to Genesis 27, verse 38, and see how this plays out. Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." Then Esau no longer able to restrain himself, raised his voice and wept loudly. Now we're going to see him do this again later in our study of these guys, and I think it's a really neat correlation. But for now, he's weeping loudly. He wants his blessing. Then Isaac, his father, answered and prophesied and said to him, "Your dwelling shall be away from the fertility of the earth and away from the dew of heaven above, but you shall live by your sword and serve your brother. However, it shall come to pass when you break loose from your anger and hatred that you will tear his yoke off your neck and you will be free of him." So he does go down and he is the father of the nation over of Edom, which is kind of southeast of Judah in that area, just under Moab. And so he does build a great nation. And God said that when he spoke to Rebekah back in chapter 26. One of those 20s. So God already said that. And what God said did happen. And he did serve Judah for a while when the Nabataeans came and pushed Edom to the west. They landed in southern Judah, and that's the time of kings, and so they were. But then there was also a day where Herod came, and Herod was an Edomite. He was an Idumean. So he then was ruler of the land, the puppet ruler of the land. So there's a lot of this back and forth. And as you read through scripture, you're going to see a lot about Edom and Israel. It's really neat study. All right, anybody on your study questions? Round number 3, insights?
So it was kind of the same, right, between Abraham and Isaac, where Abraham blessed his sons, mm-hmm. and then Isaac blessed both of his sons.
Yes. Yes, and then the covenant will continue to go down until Jesus.
So that's why they're still fighting over there until this day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Ishmael. Right, yes. So the covenant comes through one line, and the blessing comes through that line. And now we're going to celebrate that this weekend. Hallelujah. So God's grace. That's why I chose the song, even though we just sang it a couple weeks ago, Amazing Grace, because I see that through this whole thing. After I turn things right side up in my mind, instead of thinking about, you know, what knuckleheads they are, I see this is an opportunity to just see the faithfulness of God to his promise, to his covenant, all the way into the cross and now the resurrection. For all of us, it's a great story.
One thing I noticed is Esau never repented
for selling his birthright. He never asked for forgiveness.
He did want to be blessed, but yes, we are going to find out that they get along a little bit later. That's a spoiler alert, but it's a good one. Okay, so then we have the sharing and a fellowship next week, and then the following week we will be back in the trenches with Jacob and Esau. It's a good thing. It's all redemptive.
It is.
Well, love you guys. Thanks
thank you.
For having me.
Father God, we just thank you so much for your love, for the sacrifice of your Son that came to redeem us from our sins, to bring us back to you. We thank you that you hear and know our every single desire, even the ones that are not written in this book. You know our hearts, Father God. You know what we need before we even ask. We just ask, Father, that you just continue to hold us in your right hand and lead us in your ways, Father God, that we may be a light to this dark world, for all to see you, for everyone to know your name and proclaim it. Father God, we love you and we trust you, and we just ask that every sister that is here and the ones at home that cannot join us to just continue to be joyful in your name, to just continue to keep praying, because prayers work. You hear our hearts, Father God, and we thank you so much. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.